Hello everyone, Jake Golden here, and welcome to Chi-Town Hockey, a podcast on the Chicago Blackhawks. News coming yesterday from the Blackhawks that they have signed four players, two to extensions and two to an entry-level deal. Those four players consist of Matthew Highmore, Kevin Lankinen, Evan Barrett, and Andre Altibarmakian, however you say that, but we'll figure it out. So I'm going to go and jump right in, and I'm going to start talking about these extensions and these entry-level deals, what these players can bring to the team, what their future is with the Blackhawks. I'm going to go ahead and talk about all of that. So I'm going to go and jump right in, and I'm going to start talking about first the two extensions to Matthew Highmore and Kevin Lankinen. So first I'm going to discuss Matthew Highmore. So in Matthew Highmore, we have obviously a winger. He's 5'11", he's 181 pounds, 24 years of age, so he is a little bit older. And he wore the A in Rockford. So the Blackhawks signed him to a two-year deal, an extension, with an annual average value of $725,000. Now, we have multiple things here in Matthew Highmore, and one of the big things is that he's a very consistent player. He came up from Rockford earlier in the year, and he's been a pretty consistent player. And something he's proved, and one of the reasons I think the Blackhawks signed him, is that he can go up and down between Rockford and Chicago, and he can translate his game between both the AHL and the NHL. So in the 1920 season with the Blackhawks, he had 36 games played. He had two goals, 4 assists, and 6 points with a -1 rating. So obviously that's not too bad for a rookie. 6 points is not terrible, but it's also not great. And then in Rockford this year, he had 21 games played. So he obviously played more in the NHL. So he's obviously now transitioning into the NHL, which is another big reason why I think Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks wanted to extend him for another 2 years. And in Rockford, he had 4 goals, 8 assists, and 12 points. So he kind of transferred that to the NHL, collecting half his points in Rockford, with 6 in the NHL. So he's obviously able to translate some of his game to the NHL, which I think is a big thing for the Blackhawks and something that the Blackhawks need with a big pipeline of prospects. So now, I'm going to go ahead and discuss this deal. Like I said, it's 2 years. It's an extension at $725 AAV. So the first year in 2021, it's a two-way deal between the AHL and the NHL. And then in 21-22, it translates to a one-way deal just in the NHL. So this proves that the Blackhawks believe that he can be a full-time NHLer by October of 2021 when that season starts. So this is a big thing for the Blackhawks to lock him up because he's obviously already 24 years old and they think he's got a bright future in the NHL, and he's already shown that he can produce in the NHL by getting 6 points in 36 games, translating that game from the AHL. So the next extension I'm going to talk about is Kevin Lankinen. He's Rockford's goaltender along with Colin Delia. If I were to place him in the pipeline, he's probably the number 4 goaltender. We got Corey Crawford, Malcolm Subban, Colin Delia, and then probably Kevin Lankinen. He is 6'2", 185 pounds, so he is a big goalie, and he does take up a lot of net, which is definitely a good sign for the Blackhawks, especially with their horrific defense that they have right now, and he's 24 years of age. So he spent most of the season in Rockford only being called up for one game after Robin Leonard went down with an illness, and in Rockford he played 21 games, and he posted a .303 goals against average and a .909 save percentage. So obviously this wasn't great. He had a good start to the year, and he made the All-Star team, but he did kind of downfall, and that I think is where Colin Delia kind of picked up the load in Rockford, and he kind of downfalled from there, especially after Colin Delia picked up the load. So obviously these are not great numbers. A .909 save percentage isn't too good, but I think the Blackhawks think that he can obviously get better over time, especially because he didn't have an injury last year and he did only play 21 games. And the Ice Hogs, I think, played somewhere around 70 this year. So he obviously didn't play too much, especially with that injury. But still, these numbers are not great, but I think the Blackhawks think he's going to be able to get better after he recovers from that injury. So something I want to point out is he did play in the World Junior Championship last year with his hometown, or home country, I should say, of Finland. He played 8 games and he posted a 1.50 goals against average with a .943 save percentage. And that is very good. For anyone who does not know, an average good goalie's save percentage should be somewhere around the 915, 920 mark. That's for a good NHL goalie. So he's obviously played, and he's capable of playing, a lot better than just the average NHL goalie. But something I want to point out is while he did post these great numbers in the World Juniors, he was playing with only juniors and prospects. So he wasn't playing with NHLers. Well, he was, but he was only playing with like first-year NHLers per se. He wasn't playing with full-time NHLers. He really wasn't playing with any NHLers over the age of 21. So it's not like he was playing a full-blown men's hockey game, but these are still good numbers. I just wanted to point out that, yes, they are good. You can't really use these numbers to predict what he's going to be like in the NHL because he's obviously playing with a lot of players that are a lot younger than NHL players. All right, so now to get into the details of this deal, the Blackhawks signed him to a 2-year extension worth an $800,000 annual average value. So for year one in 2021, it's a two-way deal, and then it translates to a one-way deal in year two in 21-22. So this obviously shows that the Hawks believe that he can become a full-time backup by at least 2021. And it also shows that the Blackhawks are trying to lock up their goaltenders because really, now Corey Crawford's a UFA. If they re-sign him, it's not going to be for that long considering he's almost 36 years old. So if they sign him to a 2-year deal and he plays till he's 38, he's probably going to retire around that time. So they need to lock up these goalies. So they believe he can become a full-time backup by at least 2021, which I think is good for the Blackhawks. And if you look in 2021, when I think they believe he can become a full-time backup and break into the NHL, really, he's going to be 26 years old in 2021. And looking at Crawford's history, Crawford's one of the best goalies in the league. He won 2 Stanley Cups with the Blackhawks. He didn't break into the NHL until around the age of 27. So obviously, Kevin Lankinen and being in the AHL, 24 years old right now, he's going to be around 26 at the time when the Blackhawks think he can break into the NHL. So obviously that's not too far off where most goalies break into the NHL. Usually goalies are older when they break into the NHL. So that's definitely not anything to worry about that he's older. I think that's actually a good thing because he has more time to develop. You don't see goalies come in and be like Kirby Doc, who came in when he was 18 years old. You just really don't see that with goalies. So I think this is a good thing that he's not going to break into the NHL until 26 because it's going to help his development being down there in Rockford. So I definitely do think that's a good thing. Okay, so now I'm going to go ahead and move on to the two prospects that the Blackhawks just signed. We have Andre Altibarmakian and Evan Barrett. So in Andre Altibarmakian, he's a 5'11", 183 pounds. He's a right winger, and he's 21 years old. So he's an average NHL size, and he played for Sochi Hockey Club in the KHL last year. And he posted career highs in KHL points last year. He had 49 games played with 6, 11, and 17 points mark. So 6 goals, 11 assists, 17 points. And I know this doesn't seem like a lot playing 47 games and only 17 points, but it's hard to really translate these Russian players' games to North America because they are such different leagues, such different dynamics. So I know it doesn't look like a lot, but that is his career high. So he is producing at a good rate. So something I also want to point out, he was drafted 70th overall in 2017. And in the KHL, his 17 points ranked 5th best between under 22-year-old KHL players this year. So like I said, it's hard to transfer that Russian game into North America because you can see here being under 22, 5th best, that's pretty good in the KHL. So I'm going to go ahead and get into the specifics of the deal. He signed a 2-year entry-level contract worth an 817 8 Oh my God, I am so sorry, guys. $817,500 annual average value. His contract does not include a European clause, so he cannot return to Europe if he is not a fan of the Blackhawks organization, if he's not playing, etc. So he has to stay with either the Blackhawks or the Ice Hogs, and potentially even the Indy Fuel, although that's not predicted of him to be sent down to the ECHL. And something that's a bit interesting, I thought this was kind of a fun fact. He is the first Russian player Chicago has drafted to sign since Igor Makarov in 2006. So I thought that was pretty interesting. And he's expected to play in the AHL next year, 2021 season. Not really expected to break into the NHL, but looking to play in the AHL to kind of help his development. And once again, he was drafted 70th overall in 2017. All right, on to the next and last deal, Evan Barrett. So he's 6 feet, 190 pounds. He's a center and he's 21 years old. So he obviously is that more bigger body type, not as tall as Kirby Doc, but he's close. And I think that's something the Blackhawks need is that physicality, that big body type. People are hard on the puck like that. And especially him being a center, we really need that. We need centers. When we won Stanley Cups in 10, 13, and 15, we had a good pipeline of centers right there down the middle, and that's what we need. So I think it's really good that the Blackhawks have inked him to an entry-level contract, and I think it's really good that he's going to start playing with the Rockford IceHogs to get a feel for the organization and help his development. So last year, he played for Penn State in the NCAA, and he played 34 games, and he posted 12 goals, 22 assists, and 34 points. So he averaged a point per game playing 34 games. He had a team high 12 goals, which is pretty good. So I'm now going to get into the specifics of the deal. He signed a 3-year entry-level contract worth an $800,000 annual average value. And the Blackhawks believe he can produce at an NHL level now, and he thinks he can translate that game. And the Blackhawks were in talks with him after last season about possibly signing an entry-level contract, but he then got injured and needed hip surgery, so he opted to return for his junior season, and he believes it really helped his development. So that is definitely an upside for the Blackhawks. So it is looking really good for their prospect pipeline now that they have those two signed, and now that they have Colin Delia and Matthew Highmore signed, it looks like they're starting to prepare for the future. However, something I do want to point out is these signings now contradict kind of what John McDonough is saying. He's saying they want to re-win, but Stan Bowman is saying they need to look ahead to the future and they need to sign these guys. So it needs to be like a which one is it kind of a thing. They're signing young guys to help prepare for the future, but then John McDonough also wants to re-win. So you kind of have to pick where you want your money to go because you can't put your money down on all these young guys, and then you can't sign any superstars to help you win now. And now that they're signing these guys, Stan Bowman is like contradicting what John McDonough is saying. So it's a very awkward situation right now because it's kind of a two-sided story here where John McDonough is saying one thing, Stan Bowman's saying another, but then they're also kind of agreeing with themselves, but on two things. So John McDonough also agrees that the Blackhawks need to start signing these younger players and start preparing for the future. But he also agrees that they need to re-win, and so does Stan Bowman. So it's very weird right now because the Blackhawks are kind of caught in this weird situation that's like time warp where they now have Brent Seabrook signed for another, I think it's 5 years or so. At a $6.875 million cap hit, he's going to be playing until he's around 38 years old with the Blackhawks if he decides not to retire. So this is where you like have to wait out these deals, and then you have Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane making $10.5 million, which I believe is an absurd amount of money. Sidney Crosby, one of the best players in the league, only makes $8.7 million, so I just really don't know what Stan Bowman was thinking when he signed these guys, because that is an absurd amount of money. Don't get me wrong, I love both these guys, both Taves and Kane, but $10.5 million is absolutely ridiculous. Sidney Crosby doesn't even make that amount of money. So I just do not agree with the contracts that Stan Bowman has inked these superstars to. I don't know whether or not it was to lock them up or to get them to say, oh yeah, I'll sign with you and not explore free agency. But Stan Bowman has not done himself any good by signing these guys, and I do not agree with it. And we are now caught in this time warp where you have to wait out these contracts, but you also have to use the little bit of cap hit you have left to sign these young guys, help prepare for the future, and hope that they can produce on these entry-level contracts as you wait out Patrick Kane's contract, Jonathan Toews' contract, Brent Seabrook's contract, Duncan Keith's contracts, all to end. And I think Stan Bowman has really screwed himself here. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and move on from the contracts now. I got a couple listener questions on Instagram. However, I'm not going to answer them all today. I picked out three, so I'm going to go ahead and address these. So the first one is from underscore who is Adela on Instagram. She wants to know what happened between Kane and Toews. So if you don't know, Jonathan Toews, Alex Pietrangelo, and Roman Yossi had a Zoom meeting the other day, and Jonathan Toews was asked which one he would want to room with the most during quarantine and which one he would want to room with the least. He said Corey Crawford he'd want to room with the most because he's an easygoing guy, but he said the least would be Patrick Kane because there's a little bit of history there. And I think some of you guys are taking this as Jonathan Toews does not have a great relationship with Patrick Kane. However, that's not the case. They're very good friends. They're very good buddies. I think he's joking when he says this, because back when they were rookies and even a couple years from then, the young superstars, they'd play pranks on each other, and it really was kind of a love-hate relationship. One minute they loved each other, the next minute they hated each other. It was kind of that love-hate relationship. So there really was nothing that went on between Kane and Toews. It was just kind of Jonathan Toews joking about that and what happened in the past. All right, so on to the next question from NHF.official20 on Instagram. He wants to know what my opinion is on both of these entry-level deals and my opinion on these players, and what can Highmore bring to the team. So my opinion on Evan Barrett is he's a big center, which is what we need. He can obviously produce, as he showed at Penn State, which another thing is what we need. And Andre Altibarmakian, or however you say it, we'll figure it out, like I said. He is kind of that average NHL player, but he's also showed he can be an NHL player. He doesn't really have too much offensive upside, but he can still be that two-way NHL player, which is something that we need. And I think he's going to benefit from being in Rockford for that 2021 season there to help him work on his offensive upside and improve that two-way forwardness that he kind of has. And last part of this question is, what can Highmore bring to the team? Like I said, he can bring consistent two-way hockey. He can translate his game from the AHL to the NHL, and he can do it consistently. And I think that's a big thing that the Blackhawks need right now. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and answer this last question that I have. It's from Isaac underscore Ruitz 17. Sorry if I pronounced your name wrong. His question is, what needs to happen for the Blackhawks to become a top team again? So this one, I'm going to answer this one in one word: change. Jeremy Colleton is not working out for the Blackhawks. He's just not. Stan Bowman, since we won the Stanley Cup in 2015, has done more things to hurt the Blackhawks than he has done to help them. He is no longer working out. Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton need to be fired, because Stan Bowman is now standing behind Jeremy Colleton, because this was his coach hire. So if this does not work out, he obviously is going to get the blame for this. And obviously it's not working out. So as long as Stan Bowman is your GM, Jeremy Colleton is going to remain the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. And it is not working out for either of them. And they both need to be gone. Stan Bowman and Jeremy Colleton have not helped the Blackhawks. Stan Bowman needs to be looking at, what does he need to do to help this team? Or from Stan Bowman's perspective, what do I need to do to help this team? We had, it was $12 million in cap space with Seabrook, DeHaan, and Shaw all on injured reserve. He did nothing. However, it's still a win now kind of mentality. So if you have $11 million and you know these players aren't going to return, go out and trade for somebody. Why would you just sit here and stand pat? Go out and trade for Tyler Toffoli. Maybe trade for Alex Petrangelo. Do something to help your team if you want to win now. So I just don't really understand Stan Bowman and what he's doing right now, because he wants to win now, but on the other hand, when you have money to win now, he's not willing to do it. He's not willing to spend the money. I'm not saying you have to go out and trade for a dude with term. What I'm saying is go out and trade for a future unrestricted free agent, a rental player. Just go out and trade for him. If he helps the team, he helps the team. If he doesn't, well, he's a rental. So it's not that big a deal to go out and trade for a rental player because you have the cap space and you won't need to worry about it next year or in the offseason because he'll be off the books. So I think it was just absolutely absurd how Stan Bowman has been managing this Hawks team since 2015. Terrible trades, hasn't done anything with the money. It's just been absolutely ridiculous. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of Chi-Town Hockey. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hope to see you on the next one. I'm just going to go ahead and remind you guys how to get in touch with the podcast. So you can go ahead and follow the podcast on Instagram at chitown.pod. Follow the podcast on Twitter at chitownpod. You can send in listener questions through direct message or comments on either of these platforms. And you can also email the podcast at chitownhockeypod@gmail.com. And you can send in a voice memo or a typed question, whichever one you prefer. Just go ahead and send those in, and I'll try and get you on the show. Again, I love getting those questions from you guys, so please keep on sending those in, especially now with coronavirus and everything that's going on. We don't have hockey, so I really appreciate those questions, and the show really is dependent on those questions outside of the signings like these and coach firings and all that stuff. However, none of that's really going on. So once again, those questions really depend on those for the show right now. Just send those in through any of the contact methods I just listed. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Hope to see you guys in the next one. And thanks for listening.